So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer brandneuen Ausgabe von So tickt Berlin. Ja, es ist wieder eine Sonderausgabe, denn wir sind nicht in Berlin. Ich bin immer noch auf Tournee mit dem Elvis, das Musical. Und wir befinden uns in Bielefeld in einem, ja, Hotel-Foyer. Und ich sitze hier mit einem, ja, man kann schon sagen, es ist schon eine Legende. Er gehört zu dieser Show wie, ja, Graham Patrick den Elvis Presley darstellt. Aber was rede ich schon wieder so viel? Ich gebe das Wort einfach mal an meinen Gast. Very welcome, Ed Enoch.
Thank you, my friend. It's a privilege to be with you. A pleasure.
Oh, wow. Ed, normally this podcast is about Berlin, but I really like the idea. Could you tell us how often you went to Berlin so far?
You know, I've been working with Bernhard Kurse
at
the Astrel Hotel, the theater, for some time. I think since, I believe we started in 2011 and been coming back every year. It's been quite a great opportunity for the Stamps Quartet and myself to be a part of that show, with the Elvis show and with associated with Stars and Concert, and to be a friend of Bernhard Kurse and staying in that beautiful hotel.
Wow.
It's been a pleasure all these years. It's been a privilege, really, to be accepted by all the gentlemen and the ladies and that attend the concerts there at the Astrel.
Wow.
And being a part of Germany and being in Germany and being a part of those people, great people here in Germany.
So you're coming since 2011 to Berlin.
Yes.
So have you ever been before?
No. 2006. We came over for 1 week.
Oh, wow.
for the show, the Elvis show, and we did. I think we did 5 days there in that week.
Yeah.
But that's my first time in Germany and my first experience.
Wow.
But coming back, may I say, Nikolai, that in 2011. It kind of became a home to us because the people were so warm. A lot of people in the U.S., I think, don't realize how warm the German people are.
Yeah.
They are very warm and very easy to accept you and make you feel at home.
Wow, this sounds really nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so how was it? Because I really like the view of an American. You still live in
I live in Georgia, state of Georgia in the U.S.,
wow,
yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion about the differences between America and Germany, or maybe especially to Berlin when you came to see the city?
Well, very little difference. I think it's just the body of water between us. I think everyone is really the same. I mean, in the U.S. we have, I live in the South, and everything in the South in the U.S. is more homespun type of easy listening and easy living, and people kind of go their way kind of freely. They're not as in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I found in Germany, when I came to Berlin, by the way, they were kind of the same way. I mean, it was very little difference in us, in our actions and things that we liked and things that we enjoyed. I was taken all over that city, by the way. You need to know this. And Bernhard Kurse gave me a total view of Germany and Berlin and the history of things. And I really enjoyed learning the things that had been kept from me so many years.
Wow.
All these things that I learned, like seeing the city and being with real people.
Yeah.
It's not what you can read in books. It's not what you see in the movies.
Yeah.
It's real. Real people. We're not so different.
It's good to see you.
We're not so different. It's just that big old body of water separating us.
So cool. Ja, ich sage gerade, das ist so spannend. Ed Enoch ist ja quasi seit 2011 in Berlin. Er kam schon mal 2006 für eine kurze Vorstellungsserie nach Berlin. Und ich finde es total spannend, wie jemand, der ja quasi ein Leben in den Staaten führt, jetzt diesen Blick auf diese Stadt führt. So, since 2011, you go on tour with the Elvis Das Musical.
Yes.
Wow. So you told me once, and this is really, this was really touchable, really emotional for me. You said you still live your life as a second time. So you did it already before because you just toured with Elvis Presley and personal. When he, I think from, please interrupt, from 1971 until 77 with Elvis Presley, and you were one of the lead singer, or you're the lead singer of the Stamps Quartet, the gospel core ever. Oh, this is amazing. So this is like a script, like a film, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, when we was with Elvis and working and touring, you know, it was a grand time. It was a grand time to be alive. I was young, real young then, and everything was exciting. And I think I miss so much of what he was really doing in his music. And as you know, and you know this as a fact, his music is more stronger today and more alive today than it was when he was alive.
Yeah.
And so given this starting back and with Graham Patrick Doyle, I mean, what a singer, what a voice, and what a gentleman. He gives me back that thing that Elvis had. Elvis had that thing, that charisma, and so does Graham. And so coming back, this time a little older, maybe a little bit wiser, and a little bit more appreciative of the real music and the real feeling and the real depth of Elvis's music that Graham brings back to us. That's what I was trying to say to you earlier, is that This is a chance to relive those moments, but it really be real. When Elvis was alive, it was almost a fantasy. It was like, well, I'm here, and we had all the planes and cars and all the things. Things don't really matter.
Yeah,
it's the music that lives.
Yeah,
I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
One of these days, but the music will still continue.
Yeah.
See, Graham Patrick, one of these days he will pass, but the music will still live. That's the phenomenon of Elvis Presley and what he gave, and it's the phenomenon of this show. That people, those who have seen it and those who have not seen it, it's an experience of a lifetime.
And tell me about your secret. You said you're a bit older now, but what I really like, I look into your face and I see this little guy, this young man with strength and power and everything. What makes you so? What gives you so much power right now?
I don't know about that now, but I know that, and this might be the answer you want, but I think it's God. He knows this is my chance, another chance, and I think he gives me the strength. Maybe that's not what you might not want to hear, but I think that may be it, because I'm 81 years old. But I'm excited as I've ever been in my whole life about the music. I love the music, I love this moment that we have, and we're not guaranteed many moments in life. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, but I have today.
Yeah.
I've always lived in today.
Yeah, cool.
I don't think about the past, because the past is way behind me, and I don't know how long this little journey will be.
Oh, man.
See?
This is
That's
good.
The answer.
Yeah, this is quite cool.
So I'm going to take advantage of it. So I'm going to get as much gusto as I can.
Yeah.
Wow. And love the music and love that thing that you have on stage, and you, it makes such a difference in this show, in this program that you bring in forth the Colonel and and the way you deliver it. You do a wonderful job. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I want to thank you for it.
No. Such a good man. I love you, really. Oh, man. Ed, so tell me, have you? Was that always a big dream when you were a child? You know, are you born in where have you been when you grow up?
Well, I grew up really in the country. Uh-huh. in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
On a farm. My grand folks kept me most of my life, and they were sharecroppers, and they worked another man's farm.
Wow.
And they, in doing it, they had a home, and they got electricity. Sometimes we had running water, and sometimes we had to go to the well.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And so, sort of poor existence, but a house full of love. I was never chewed out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it as a blessing coming up the way I did. Came up hard way. And we worked hard for our food and for our money. And I worked in the fields from the time I could carry water to the people working in the fields.
Unbelievable, you know? Yeah.
It's quite a story. It's quite a thing to go look back upon.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted, for myself, as a little bitty boy, I've always wanted to sing.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wanted to have that opportunity to sing gospel. I used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry, which is a program that comes out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
For years, and I would listen at that, and I would hear a gentleman by the name of Red Foley. He was a country artist sing "Peace in the Valley."
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Way back there, I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old, and sometimes it would make me cry.
Oh, wow.
Because it would touch my heart. It was such warm music.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I grew up inquisitive. I've always been too inquisitive. And so that brings me to the point of when I had a chance to sing, and the way I got into even doing that, it's a mystery, you know, how it all came about. That's what I went back when I go to God. It has to be some power beyond you and I.
Yeah, yeah.
That brings us to this point.
Wow.
81 years, and I'm 81 years old now. And
unbelievable, really.
So whether or not this makes sense or not, I just think there's a calling, just like on Grand Patrick's life. I think there's a calling on his life when he's a little boy to sing, and his focus came upon Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see now what he brings to the stage.
Mm.
He brings the exact voice, the exact sound, and the exact charisma that Elvis had.
Yeah.
How could that happen again, you say?
Yeah, you're right.
But it did, and it has, and it is happening now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And how do you find the way, you know, you grew up in poor circumstances, and how did you find the way to the Stamps Quartet?
It just all came kind of, I got out of the army.
Yeah.
I served my 2 years, and I didn't join it, by the way. They drafted me.
Oh, wow.
But I went into the service 2 years.
Yeah.
I came out of the service, and I went down to a little town called Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they had a little, what they call a little singing convention, and they were like amateur singers.
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman that was headed this thing up, his name was Mr. Stevens. And the quartet was really an amateur, but it was just real pure singing from the heart, you know. So I thought, well, I'm going to hear some singing.
Uh-huh.
And I got in my car and drove to Franklin and went into this little schoolhouse to listen to them sing.
Yeah.
I was listening to them.
Wow.
And I was mystified by the sincerity of their voices. And they were singing these old songs that I heard, like hymns in the church and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just made me so happy. Well, he looked back and saw me in the audience. He had seen me before. I had come around through there. I knew all those people up in Franklin.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, would you come here and sing baritone with me? No, sing lead with me on this song. He said, my lead singer is sick today, Ed. He said, could you do that? I said, well, sure. So I went up and sang the song. When I got through, well, the pianist, this is the truth, so help me God.
Yeah.
The pianist was his, I believe it was his wife's, I believe it was his wife's sister.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, Ed, man, thank you for singing with my uncle. He said, I'm so happy.
Wow.
She said, can you read numbers? I said, in chords, that's chord structures. I said, yes. Ooh. Can you read the notes? I said, yes, I can read notes. She said, well, my boyfriend, my fiance is Felton Jarvis.
Ah.
And he is a new A&R person with RCA Victor. And I would like to tell him about you, and you, Mike, could give you some work. And I said to her, oh, man, this is great.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so excited. I'm just bouncing like a ball, you know. You know. I went home, and sure enough, he called me.
Yeah.
Well, you do know that Felton Jarvis was Elvis's producer.
Wow.
Record producer. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he calls me down as they call me a handyman.
Uh-huh.
And I would fill in with the Jordanaires.
Uh-huh.
And the Jordanaires and the Nita Kerr singers were the voices in Nashville that did all the records.
Yeah.
And he gave me that job. And of course, I worked with all of them after that.
Yeah.
That got me into the music business.
Wow.
And from that led to, J.D. Sumner needing a singer.
Yeah.
Called me, and that brought us to where we are today, right here. But isn't that a crazy thing that happens? So it wasn't like I was so magnificent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just at the right place at the right time.
Wow.
Huh?
Isn't it great?
Is it cool?
Yeah.
Felton Jarvis, of all people, was her fiancé. Huh?
Could you believe that? This is unbelievable. Yeah, really, really cool.
It was like going off the mountain here and finding a golden goose.
Yeah, but sometimes this is life, right?
That's life. This is what life is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And I've thought about it a lot since then and laugh. I just laugh out loud in the room sometimes. I say, here I am, you know. Coming off that farm, my Lord. You know, dealing with the crops and things. And here I am, you know. I mean, this is crazy.
What is this? Jetzt haben wir hier. Sorry for this interruption. Wir sitzen ja hier in Bielefeld, die Stadt, die es tatsächlich nicht gibt. Aber ich habe jetzt letztens ein Gerichtsurteil gelesen, welches tatsächlich festgehalten hat, dass es Bielefeld auf jeden Fall gibt, rechtlich gesehen. Wir sitzen ja hier nach wie vor in diesem Hotel auf dem Berg irgendwo in, in Johannisthal. Ich habe keine Ahnung, was jetzt hier gerade ist. I just said that we are in Bielefeld, the city that doesn't exist. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I did hear about that.
No, there is some fire alarm or something. I don't know. Is this curious? I don't know. What happened here?
Everyone looks distressed, don't they?
Ja, wenn ihr wisst, was jetzt hier gerade passiert, sind alle Motelbeschäftigten, die laufen hier kreuz und quer. Es ist wie ein Feueralarm. Ich weiß nicht, was hier ist. Es ist auch nicht mein Handy. We are? No. Was happened? Also wir sind's nicht. Is it your mobile phone?
Couldn't be.
Maybe your alarm. No.
No. There's nothing there.
Meins auch nicht.
No, I think it's... I think it's this one.
Das ist kein Problem. Es ist ja sozusagen ein Live-Interview.
Amazing.
It's amazing. You said it. Because of this situation, you found, or Elvis found you as the Stamps Quartet?
He found us because there was a group by the name of Imperials.
Yeah.
And they were a great group, a wonderful group, and he had them first.
Aha.
And they had a chance to get other work and more work, because Elvis at that time wasn't touring.
Uh-huh.
And Elvis had booked one tour, But they began to work Vegas with other artists.
Yeah.
And so they called us. Elvis wanted to hear different groups. He had he had the Oak Ridge Boys. He tried them out, which Oak Ridge Boys are the fantastic quartet in the United States, and very successful. But he chose us. So we went on tour with him for one tour, and then he hired us until his death. We stayed with him.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, between you and I, it was about like me meeting that keyboard player.
Yeah.
And she was a fiance was Felton Jarvis. It just happened like that. I don't think because we're so great. I don't think the Jump Course was so good and we're so fabulous. I just think we're what he wanted. And I hate to say this, but it was the sound that he wanted.
Wow.
And Elvis followed everything around gospel.
Yeah.
Everything around gospel. If you were around him, if you were on his plane, we've flown his plane many times, and we would sit around in that plane and sing until we got to where we were going, sing gospel songs.
Wow.
And that's all he wanted to do. Many, many nights in Las Vegas. Of course, that was a place where we were all together for a period of time.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe at one time 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And we would sing almost every night.
Yeah.
After the shows, after two shows, we would go upstairs and sing gospel until daylight.
Wow.
Yeah. Elvis did not have anything else he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, we could have done anything.
Yeah.
There was in the past, we could go to his house, to his home. He'd say, come up. We'd go up. Maybe he and I could go up motorcycle riding. We'd get the bikes out and take them, And when he had a helmet on, nobody knew who he was,
Wow.
And we could go anywhere. And that sort of thing, golf carts and throwing a football and all kind of thing. But when you got down to it, like, he called us. Now, this is the truth.
Yeah.
Brought us from Nashville to Memphis. He said, I've got a new racquetball court.
Uh-huh.
They've just built me a new racquetball court, and I want you guys to see it.
Wow.
But I want the whole quartet to come.
Wow.
So, okay, we get in our bus, and we had our own private coach. We
were
blessed enough to have that private coach. Drove us over there.
Yeah.
We get to Elvis's house. We go in, of course. And
to Graceland.
Talking around. Then he wants to go to show us this racquetball court. And when I walked in the door of the racquetball court, it had fine furniture, leather furniture. But over in the corner, he had this little piano sitting on the corner.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So we go into the racquetball court. You open the doors to it and you go in. He said, bring that piano in here.
Uh-huh. Oh, my.
And so he says, bring the piano in here.
Yeah.
And they brought that piano in, put it on that brand new wood, hardwood floor.
Wow.
And he wanted the acoustics
uh-huh.
like you get when you're in the shower.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the shower. We closed the door. We stood in there and sung.
Wow.
All night long.
No way.
All night
really?
Long. Yeah. All night long. All night long. It's crazy.
Jeez.
And, but see, there you go again. That's the love. It's not something you like.
Yeah.
It's something that you love.
Love. Yeah.
I like a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I don't love a lot of
Yeah,
things,
you're right.
See? And that was his deal. And then we would do a record session there at Graceland, for instance. And he'd just want to stop and sing gospel.
Wow.
Got all those people on the clock.
Wow.
So money didn't mean anything to him at all. Not at all.
So the Stems Quartet are responsible that, also responsible that Elvis won 3 Grammy Awards? For gospel?
I don't think we're responsible. I think we were lucky enough to be on the session. It was Elvis. It was all about Elvis.
Yeah.
We were blessed again of God to to have that place in life to do that. And you got to be honest with yourself. I like you. I want to be honest when I tell these people, whoever is listening to this, that Elvis Presley was Elvis Presley, and he could have had anybody with him, and he had been a tremendous success.
Yeah.
But we were blessed enough to be there.
Wow.
And we try to take advantage of it. But I think we just sort of slid by and, you know, a lot of things, and we were young and did some foolish things, and I didn't take it in what it should have been.
Yeah.
And so this show is a real thing.
Wow, Ed, this is, I could listen to you for more than 48 hours because you could tell so much great stuff. Have you maybe, because I told you this podcast is around 30
yes.
minutes and
yeah.
we are now on 25.
Okay.
Is there an advice or something would you like to give or share with maybe some youngsters, they want to start to become a singer or something, or like live your dream, or because you got all this, you had it, or you have it right now.
Yeah. Well,
some last words.
If you start and want to do whatever you want to do, if you want to be in music and you wanted to do that, and that was what you wanted to do, then make it a journey, not a job.
Uh-huh.
Make it a journey with happenings along the way and take advantage of the day that you have.
Yeah.
Because you're not promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
So take that date you have, like right now, right this second, and be the best that you can be. And don't expect the world to pick you up and carry you, because it will not carry you. Only you can do that. You know, I find myself sometimes thinking, I'm an old man, and why would they want me a part of that program on that stage? And I think, well, it's my chance to sing one more song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's my chance to do this one more time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it.
I love you, really. So, oopala. That's so cool. Really, I like that. That's good. Ed Enoch, from the bottom of my heart, really, I appreciate it. I really thank you. It's a great honor to meet you. It's always a pleasure to be on stage with you and listen and listen to you. And I'm looking forward to do a lot of more shows. And I invite you to
thank
a
you.
Big dinner. And I wish
you
the best of luck, a lot of health, and everything you like to do. Really, you're a great man, and thank you for that nice interview, this nice talk, this nice chat.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Euch sage ich Dankeschön fürs Zuhören. Es war jetzt ja noch ein bisschen spannend hier mit dem Feueralarm, aber es macht das ja nochmal ein wenig lebhafter und rundet die ganze Sache ab. Und es zeigt ja auch, dass es Bielefeld wirklich gibt, nochmal mit diesem Feueralarm jetzt hier. Ich hoffe, ihr hattet genauso viel Spaß. Wahnsinnig spannender Mann, der Ed. Ich könnte ewig weiter zuhören. Ich sage Dankeschön fürs Zuhören. Passt auf, bleibt gesund und vor allen Dingen zuversichtlich und fröhlich.
So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.